Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along with us here today for another exciting program talking about farming, ranching, and issues impacting rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by our friends at Sedex. Sedex premium diesels, premium lubricants, hard work, long hours in extreme conditions. They aren't new. Sedex premium diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Sedex.com. Coming up on today's program, we are going to have a conversation here a little bit later on in the show with Chelsea Good, VP for Government and Industry Affairs at the Livestock Marketing Association. Also, towards the end of the program, we're going to learn more about the Nursery Value Select Crop Insurance Program. Marsha Bunger, RMA Administrator at USDA, is going to join us to wrap up the show. Also, coming up in segment two, I told you we got a busy one today. We're going to talk with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Negg. Got a long list of topics to talk about with the secretary, so we'll get to that conversation coming up here in just a little bit. Let's start with markets. Joining us now to take a look at what is moving or what is not moving in our grain, livestock, and outside market trade, Tyler Schau with agmarket.net. Tyler, good to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Good to get to visit with you again.
How are things out in western North Dakota where you're located? I'm guessing maybe not a ton of early planting, but maybe I'm wrong. How's things looking out there?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe a little bit got scratched late last week and over the weekend. We had a beautiful weekend up in the 70s and 80s out here. Did have a little bit of a rain system pass through early this week, and then supposed to be cold the next couple of days. So a lot of guys just kind of waiting. Does look like next week it's going to warm up and looks to be good conditions. A lot of prep work got done the last couple of weeks. So I would bet as soon as Monday rolls around and the temperatures get back up in the 50s and 60s, you're going to see a lot of equipment moving and starting to get this crop in the ground. And you know, with the equipment we have, watch out.
Yeah, it can happen very, very quickly. Well, and I think with spring planting season largely upon us, these grain markets are drifting a bit. They've been taking some cues, I think, from some outside market moves. But overall, I look at fundamentals here, corn, beans, wheat. It's just not a lot going on, especially the corn market really hasn't done much here this week. It feels like these markets are looking for some fresh news here on the grain side, Tyler.
Yeah, they are, and they're just – there's been a big lack of any type of bullish news. And then couple that with what I just talked about, good conditions ready to go. It sounds like Missouri might be, I won't say 100% planted come next week, but Missouri's been going like crazy. I know they've been going pretty hard and heavy in Iowa. Some of these places taking a little bit of a break with the rain and the cold weather here the last few days. But the conditions were good last fall. A lot of field work got done in the fall. A lot of fertilizer was put down. They had a couple good weeks here over the last month where they were able to get some more of that done. And like I said, I think there's just a lot of them getting ready to go and go hard. And I wouldn't be surprised the next 2 weeks we don't see those planting progress numbers really bump up. And remember, we saw the same thing last year. Mm-hmm. Saw a really quick planting window and farmers were able to get out and get the crop in the ground. And that pressured these markets late April and really into late May until we started to realize, okay, we do have a little bit of a dryness issue going on. So wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some pressure moving forward with the pace at which we can put the crop in the ground as long as the weather stays decent.
Well, and let's talk about this too, Tyler. I think with farmers getting busy in the fields, sometimes you can maybe take your thumb off of what is exactly going on in these markets. There is still the potential out there for various headline risk. I think geopolitical problems in the Middle East. We got the energy markets have been on a roller coaster, things like that. There's certain things that could, next thing you know, you can look at the quote board, we're down 20 cents. So I feel like even though you're getting busy in the field, you still got to have some sense of risk management here, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've been trying to talk with some of our customers with. You know, we've maintained, I don't want to say we're pretty bearish as we move out into next fall. You know, we're going to go on the idea that we're probably going to have decent enough weather to grow a crop here this summer. And just with where carryouts are in the U.S. right now, with where carryouts are in the world, we just don't see a big supply issue at this moment. Now, again, that can change, you know, as weather changes and maybe a longer lasting drought develops in the U.S. But for right now, on the horizon, we see big carryouts at the end of the year. Now, us, like a lot of other outfits, have been looking at that massive short position to manage money's holding right now in corn, beans, and wheat. And we do expect them to lift some of those short positions. You know, we've got the growing season and the heat of the growing season coming up in the next couple of months. They typically don't like to stay short through that growing season. So we think there could be some movement here, but we just, you know, until we get some type of catalyst that scares those out of those positions, my fear is the path of least resistance is to just kind of dwindle lower here as we see that planting progress pick up.
Livestock, I know Monday, Tuesday, we had some good strength in cattle. Wednesday, that kind of faltered out. We didn't get any more follow through. And then Thursday, it's mixed to red in the livestock trade. Any notes for us here? I know specifically with cattle, probably some positioning ahead of that cattle on feed report coming up Friday.
Yeah, it feels like there's just a little back and forth action going on in cattle, trying to position ahead of the cattle on feed report, which is expected to be somewhat bullish, expecting low placements now for March. You know, we had really low placements in January. Higher than expected placements in February, and now we're kind of looking at lower placements in March, which has kind of helped this cattle market catch a little bit of a bid. You know, the big difference I would say between this fallout in the cattle market here over the last month and what we experienced last fall was just the cash market maintained some strength here, and you know that's kind of held this market up. Both fats and feeders both came down to the 62% retracement from the December lows to the March highs. And those numbers kind of held support here. So feels like maybe the cattle market is, you know, attempting a rebound, but kind of what you were talking about with the grains, you know, at any moment there's headline risk out there, especially in the cattle market with the avian flu. Maybe we're done. Maybe it was a big nothing burger. Time will tell on that one, but every day is another day where some piece of news can surface that can spook the market participants into exiting long positions and adding to shorts.
Definitely a lot of things to pay attention to. If folks have questions, I know they can reach out to Tyler or someone else on the Ag Market team at agmarket.net. Tyler Schau, agmarket.net, thanks for joining us on AOA. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Back with more right after this.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that aligns precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. Two familiar brands with one common goal. Precision Planting and PTX Trimble know farming is easier when systems speak to each other. That's why they provide solutions that connect operations across the crop cycle to unlock visibility and flexibility, regardless of equipment color. Through automation, guidance, and upgrades for every season, PTX is your solution for precision ag technology, empowering you to be more efficient, more accurate, and make agronomic decisions with confidence. You'll find a local dealer network that provides expert knowledge and support for every season. As you focus on maximizing yield, they'll provide reliable service, education, and access to tools that strengthen your inputs. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location. They have the premium diesels and premium lubricants and greases to keep your equipment running through a busy spring planting season and beyond. Find your nearest Cenex location or go to Cenex.com for more. Joining us now here on AOA, pleased to have a conversation with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Naig, is with us. Mike, it's good to talk with you again. How's things going in Iowa for you, sir?
Well, it's always great to catch up. Spring planting is upon us, and we're sort of taking stock of things today after some pretty widespread rain and a little bit of severe weather here and there. But I have to tell you that even with a bit of a delay in getting started in planting, I think there's a lot of folks that are happy to finally see some more consistent rainfall. Lord knows we've been needing that.
I was going to say, I know there's a lot of parts of the state that drought monitor, it's gotten better, but still kind of some bullseye points there. So to that point, maybe a few days to let some of this recent rainfall soak in the ground and park the planters a little bit. It's not necessarily a bad thing, right, Mike?
We've been kind of saying is that might be a little more like a normal spring, which is where we don't remember that, what that is like. So here's a statistic, that a record that you don't want to set. State of Iowa has now had 197 consecutive weeks of at least D1 drought in the state. And that bullseye has kind of moved around. It was northwest, it was southeast, now it's northeast. And the point is that, if you're only getting the amount of rain that you're supposed to get each week, you're not really correcting drought. You're just keeping pace with where you should be. So we didn't get into a drought overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. But maybe most importantly, and frankly, what people are more concerned about is, do we have the moisture to get this crop out of the ground? May end up with planters sitting here and there. But again, that would be kind of normal, wouldn't it? That we catch a rain, sit, open up a window, go hard, and then take a break again when it rains. That wouldn't be the end of the world.
No, exactly. And we've seen that time and time again. Well, we'll hope for a continued good spring planting season. Let's talk about some other issues here, Mike. E15, that's a big one that's top of mind for me. As of right now, we still don't have an emergency waiver for the summer driving season from the EPA. We've seen an emergency waiver the last 2 years. We fully expect one this year, at least we think. And I know you've sent a letter to the EPA along with many other folks who have been reaching out on this as well. I mean, talk about where this stands and how come we don't have any certainty yet here as the calendar ticks away on us here.
Unfortunately, here we are, another year where the rallying cry is give us year-round access to E15. Of course, again, a little background, we have the summer fueling season that starts June 1 and goes through September 15th. The rules around emissions change in a way that without a waiver of some kind, E15, or you might see it as unleaded 88 on the gas pump, is not allowed. And so obviously, what we would rather have is something happen at the federal level, maybe a piece of legislation that says you can have year-round access to E15. We don't have to play this game, this emergency waiver game every year. The other way that we've addressed this, Governor Reynolds and some of her colleagues from the Midwest applied for and received a waiver request or a petitioned EPA for a waiver that would allow E15 just in those states. But here's kind of the silly thing, right? EPA granted the waiver finally, but they granted it starting in 2025. Obviously, lots of people scratching their heads saying, why in the world, if it's good enough for 25, it ought to be good enough for 24. And here we find ourselves again asking for this emergency waiver. We hope that we can get that. I think conditions are right for it. Certainly inflation impacting us all. Oil prices are increasing. Uncertainty around the world, producing turmoil and risk. And so I think it makes sense that waiver would be granted. But here's some other numbers. In the state of Iowa, just last year, we set a new record for E15 usage. It was up 50%. Mm. If you see the difference between E15 price and E10 price, it saved Iowans about $38 million just in one year. That hits the pocketbook. I don't want folks to have to struggle with the price of fuel this summer. So we're asking for that waiver to once again go into place.
Well, hopefully we can get some certainty and some cost savings there for consumers real soon. Mike, let's switch gears to what's going on in the state of Iowa. Iowa legislature is running hard right now. What are some different things you are hoping to see come from the Iowa legislature when it comes to funding for ag-related projects in the state, like water quality, soil conservation, et cetera?
Well, absolutely. The Iowa legislature is really kind of in the final stretch here, and really that's when the budget negotiations are happening really in full swing. There's still several farmers that serve in the legislature, and Speaker Grassley being one of them. And so I always say, as the soil temperature comes up, folks get really motivated to end the legislative session. So we're certainly encouraging that. But for us at the Iowa Department of Ag, of course, we are asking for just continued support for some very important sustained efforts. And I always say, you really need to have a sustained focus on a couple of these things to really move the needle. First and foremost, foreign animal diseases, things like high path avian influenza, African swine fever, foot and mouth disease. We've really ramped that up over the last 5-6 years. It needs to be a focus for us. You know, Iowa roughly has, what, $20 billion in livestock-related sales each year. That doesn't even account for the full impact to our economy. So working on these issues is really important. Water quality, soil health, soil conservation, a sustained, long-term dedicated effort is what we're looking for. Again, building out some renewable fuel infrastructure. And also, we've launched a new program to really develop markets around local foods called Choose Iowa. And so we're asking for some support for that and really pushing hard to secure that. But we've got great support for agriculture in the legislature here in Iowa. We're very, very fortunate.
Yeah. And I know, to your point, you mentioned the Choose Iowa program. I believe you're announcing some dairy innovation grants here this week as well to go along with that. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. So this is twofold. One is for some of our smaller dairies. Labor is a challenge for every dairy, but for small dairies, it may make or break whether they can stay in business. And so we're offering some cost share for labor-saving technology. Think of robotic milkers, feed systems, et cetera. Had many, many applications for that. And then we're also providing some grant dollars related to bringing on-farm dairy processing or expanding on-farm dairy processing. Things like yogurt, frozen yogurt, cheese. Oftentimes it's the next generation of a family, a dairy farm, that says, we want to capture some more margins, sell direct, see if we can't control our own destiny a little more. And these are some dollars that can help with that. So a lot of great projects that applied and very, very competitive. And we'll be announcing some of those.
Mike, as well, foreign ownership bill. You know, you mentioned the support you have with the State House there in Iowa and Governor Reynolds, et cetera. And I know a foreign ownership bill recently signed into law. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, foreign ownership of farmland here in the U.S. Talk about how a bill like that was a big win for agriculture.
Yeah, certainly it's been a hot topic, across the country, and the concept being, do you have foreign entities, from adversarial countries that are buying farm ground and maybe even buying farm ground near military installations and those types of things. I have to tell you, though, that has not been happening in Iowa, and there's a reason for that. It's because you go back to 1979, Iowa put laws on the books that, frankly, I think have been a gold standard, and that prohibits the foreign ownership of farm ground into perpetuity. Now, a foreign-owned company can come into Iowa, buy ground, and develop it into something else. We've got many great foreign-owned companies that are good employers and important parts of our economy, and we want more of that. We're still welcoming to that. But what we will not have is foreign entities owning farm ground and competing directly with farmers and extracting that value out of our communities. And so we really just strengthened an already strong law that was on the books since, like I said, the late 1970s. What we did was enhance some reporting requirements, gave our attorney general some power to subpoena information if she needs to investigate, and we did increase penalties just in case somebody would try to challenge our laws. We want to have that serve as a deterrent. So, again, I think Iowa continues to lead on this and be a model that other states can use. Governor signed that bill last week, and was really proud to be a part of that effort.
Mike, we're up against the clock, but real quick, HPAI, any reminders for farmers, things they need to keep in mind as that continues to spread?
Well, reminders that biosecurity is key here. And for consumers, I would again stress that this is an animal health issue, to be sure, but it is not a food safety issue, nor is it a human health issue in that we've only seen the one case. There's no evidence that it's spreading human to human. If it were, that would be of concern, but it is not. Dairy industry's got longstanding protocols to separate off sick cattle and the milk from those cows. But to be honest, this is an emerging issue. We don't have any known cases in the state of Iowa, but certainly working with other states and USDA to try to figure out how can we best prevent the further spread of this. Good news is dairy cattle will get sick and then they'll get better. Poultry do not. And so it's also just a time to, as birds are migrating north, that our poultry industry is on high alert as well to try to keep both the opportunity for spreading from dairy, but also to minimize that interaction with wild birds.
Biosecurity, so important. We've talked about a lot. We will have to wrap it up there. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nag. Thanks for joining us on AOA, Mike. We'll talk to you again real soon. Appreciate it.
You bet. Always great to catch up.
Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nag, joining us here on AOA. Coming up next here on the show, brought to you by Cenex. We'll talk with Chelsea Good for the Livestock Marketing Association on the way right after this. Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button, or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra for the American Ag Network with this look at markets. Corn Thursday morning radar shows rain falling in eastern Nebraska and Iowa, two areas that could use the rain to help planting conditions. A combination of more rain across the Corn Belt plus above normal temperatures are expected for the rest of the month and should make for good early planting conditions. In central Brazil, the forecast is starting to turn drier as it normally does this time of year, but so far traders are showing no concern about the corn crop. In Argentina, harvest has another 3 days of dry weather before rain chances return, possibly disrupting the harvest this weekend and into early next week. Another harvest update will be out later this afternoon. In spite of active corn demand in the U.S., December corn prices remain pressured by larger supplies in 23-24 and the harvest of Argentina's crop. For soybeans, it's a difficult time of year in general because Brazil is in the later stages of its harvest and Argentina is just getting started. U.S. soybean exports in 2023-24 continue to struggle. They're below USDA's estimated pace. USDA said 17.8 million bushels of old crop soybeans and 9.7 million bushels of new crop soybeans were sold for export last week. Shipments totaled 17.7 million bushels, putting total shipments down 18% in 2023-24 from a year ago, below pace for reaching USDA's export estimate of 1.7 billion bushels. For wheat, the U.S. Northern Plains showed limited areas of moderate drought and are generally in better shape than wheat areas north of the border. On the demand side, there's a good chance wheat will reach USDA's 710 million bushel export estimate, but that is the lowest level in over 50 years. USDA said there were 3.4 million bushels of old crop wheat sales canceled last week and 8.2 million bushels of new crop wheat sold for export last week. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind to know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit cenex.com for more information. Well, right now, we want to get some updates on the recent fly-in to D.C. for the Livestock Marketing Association and talk about policy priorities. Joining us now, she is the Vice President of Government and Industry Affairs for the Livestock Marketing Association. Chelsea Good is with us here on AOA. Chelsea, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, let's start with a recap of the fly-in. I know this happened a few weeks ago in March, the association's 18th DC fly-in. And I know events like this really give folks an opportunity to talk with legislators and more on Capitol Hill and talk about issues that they're concerned about. Doesn't events like this really help do that?
Oh, absolutely. It's my favorite week every year when I bring local livestock auction owners from all across the United States to Washington, D.C., and they get to be the boots on the ground that are going and meeting with their members of Congress and meeting with USDA and advocating on their own behalf. I spend year-round lots of time in D.C. Advocating for the sale barns across the U.S., but it really helps when that member of Congress, when they see me, that they realize they're not just seeing me, they're seeing their local sale barn owner because we are in communication, and that's who our association is.
Well, let's talk about some of what those sale barn owners and folks with LMA talked about during that fly-in. What were some of the big topics, priorities that members talked about with their congressional leadership?
The need to update the Packers and Stockyards Act was probably the top priority. This law is more than 100 years old. It passed in 1921, around the same time that sliced bread was invented. And it's just getting a little dusty and musty. There are pieces of it that don't make sense. They were written for kind of a terminal stockyard prior to an auction environment, and they just don't fit our businesses today. I'll give an example. It is illegal for a local livestock auction owner to own or invest in a packing facility. It doesn't matter how small. And that just doesn't make sense today, right? Especially in a world where we're wanting more packers, more competition, more buyers on the seats, that we're telling these local sale barn owners that they're not eligible to do that. So there's actually a bill introduced. It's called the A-Plus Act. It's H.R. 530 in the House, Senate Bill 813 in the Senate, that would allow a livestock auction owner to own or invest in a packing facility. So that was one of a couple things we talked about.
Well, and thinking about this Packers and Stockyards Act, to your point, it is a very outdated rule. I know, I believe back in early March, USDA released a final rule on competition, but still, we still have a lot of things that need to get done in terms of, you know, modernizing a Packers and Stockyards Act here that is good for all producers, right, Chelsea?
You're totally right. You know, the law itself is just dated and needs some work. I'll give another example. You know, the way money flows has changed, but the act really doesn't recognize that. It still talks about checks in the mail. And so if you sell at your local livestock auction, you know, you usually pick up your check that day in person. But then that sale barn is waiting for their customers, the packers and dealers that bought that day. They're waiting for that money in the mail. And what used to come in, you know, a couple days, the mail service is slowing down. It takes 10-20 days to receive a check sometimes, and a lot of times they don't come. It's actually kind of a dangerous way to send money. Check washing is something we're seeing more and more of, but we don't have the tools in the toolbox to incentivize those buyers to instead wire or ACH funds. With some updating of the act, we can make that happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things that increasing that competition and really modernizing such an important rule is very important. What about some other aspects of that fly-in conversations that folks had? I wonder if things like the Paraguayan beef issue were maybe brought up, uh-huh, or other topics. Talk about some other topics that were talked about at the fly-in, Chelsea.
We were there at like the exact right time for the Paraguayan beef, because the Congressional Review Act vote in the Senate happened the day we were on the Hill. So it was so cool for our members to sit down. We had a Pennsylvania auction in town that met with their Senate office, and the Senate office was unaware of that and then voted favorably on the CRA that I don't know if they would have otherwise. Just to make sure your listeners kind of understand what we're talking about, USDA recently has decided that they're going to allow the importation of fresh beef from Paraguay. Paraguay has a history of foreign animal disease like FMD. They also have a history of being not truthful of how, you know, what they're experiencing from an animal health standpoint. And so LMA, as long as everybody else, you know, opposes this rule that USDA came up with. And so what the vote Congress took, it does is, you know, it has to pass the House now, but it passed the Senate by a record margin. It was the most people who have ever voted for a CRA act. And what it would do if the House does the same thing, and I think they will, I hope they will, is it makes the rule go away. It is literally Congress telling USDA, you know, you made a bad call there, buddy.
We are talking today with Chelsea Good. She is the VP of Government and Industry Affairs for the Livestock Marketing Association. Chelsea, thinking broadly as well, just about cattle market reforms and that topic. I know that's tied in with a lot of what we've already discussed here, and a lot of conversations over the last few years surrounding just broader cattle market reform. I know Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley said just this week that he feels like any meaningful cattle market reforms would probably have to go through the farm bill. Talk about just broader cattle market reforms or things like the Cattle Price Discovery Transparency Act, stuff like that. I mean, meaningful cattle market reform, is that something that's probably going to have to get tied to the farm bill? What's LMA's stance on that issue?
This isn't necessarily an LMA policy opinion. This is going to be my opinion as a lobbyist, and that is the farm bill would be kind of a tough vehicle for that. We're going to have a really hard time passing a farm bill regardless. It was supposed to be a 2023 farm bill. Now it's supposed to be a 2024 farm bill, but a lot of people are suspicious that we might not get it done, or Congress might not get it done this year, or if they do, it might be a lame duck product. So it's just a tough vehicle to carry controversial issues, and regardless of what side of the fence you are on the Fisher-Grassley bill, I think that it's controversial. I think everybody would agree with that. So that makes the farm bill just kind of a tough vehicle for it. There are pieces, though, of that Cattle Market Transparency Act that have already happened. The cattle contract library, USDA is doing a pretty good job with that. The pilot for that ended up being in appropriations. And so you can now go on USDA's website and get a little bit more information about the contracts that exist between the feed yards and the packers, what sort of premiums and discounts they're getting for different things. I think that that's a good transparency measure that has already happened, and that was part of the initial Cattle Market and Transparency Act. It's just the piece that was sliced off and moved quicker than the rest of it.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that for sure. Let's talk more LMA policy priorities. If you want to share some more of those with us here in the next few months ahead, what should we be on the lookout for that LMA is going to be working on Capitol Hill?
We're watching really closely animal ID, animal disease traceability. USDA has a proposed rule that is now with the Office of Management and Budget of the White House. It could get finalized any day. And the proposed rule, if it is finalized similar to how it was proposed, would require mandate that if cattle are crossing state lines and are sexually intact and 18 months of age and older, that they would have to carry an electronic ID tag. Currently, those animals have to be identified, but they use a metal bright tag. And what the rule would do is it would mandate an electronic tag. Why that matters is those electronic tags are a lot more expensive. And so LMA believes strongly that if this is to be required, it can't be an unfunded mandate, that USDA has to provide those tags. And we were really worried that they were just going to stop at some point. Not because they didn't want to, but just because they had other priorities and they were going to use their money elsewhere. And Congress, thankfully, in the appropriations bill said, again, Congress telling USDA, bad idea, buddy. Congress said to USDA, hey, you must continue to provide those tags that are required under this animal disease traceability program. And oh, by the way, if you finalize this rule, you got to provide those electronic tags, and you've got to spend at least $15 million of existing funds to do so.
Yeah, traceability is one thing, but funding that traceability is a whole other aspect, isn't it?
It totally is. And I think we can't lose sight of that. You know, I know better than about anybody how sensitive a topic this is in the countryside. And you've got some producers that just hate it, that they think it's an infringement. They really don't want to have to tag their animals. You've got other producers that think it's an investment in our future and security and all the things, right? I don't care which side of that fence you're on. And most people are pretty close, much closer to the middle of that fence. The people I described are as far apart as you can get. I don't care where you are on that spectrum. Nobody wants this to be an unfunded mandate. Nobody wants producers who are already struggling to be profitable to have another expense. And so that's where LMA stands. Can't be an unfunded mandate.
Well, we are out of time. Really enjoyed the conversation, though. We'll have to get you back on the show again with us soon. Chelsea Good, VP of Government and Industry Affairs with the Livestock Marketing Association. Chelsea, thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Learn more at lmaweb.com. We'll be back with RMA Administrator Marcia Bunger. She joins us next on AOA, brought to you by CEDEX, right after this.
A promise is potent, born of intention, fueled by commitment. It's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that aligns precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. Two familiar brands with one common goal. Precision Planting and PTX Trimble know farming is easier when systems speak to each other. That's why they provide solutions that connect operations across the crop cycle to unlock visibility and flexibility, regardless of equipment color. Through automation, guidance, and upgrades for every season, PTX is your solution for precision ag technology, empowering you to be more efficient, more accurate, and make agronomic decisions with confidence. You'll find a local dealer network that provides expert knowledge and support for every season. As you focus on maximizing yield, they'll provide reliable service, education, and access to tools that strengthen your inputs. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by SEDEX, premium diesels and premium lubricants to keep your equipment running on your operation. Trust your local experts at your nearest SEDEX location or visit SEDEX.com for more. Well, joining us now here on AOA, pleased to talk with the RMA administrator at USDA. Marcia Bunger's with us here on the show today. Marcia, it's great to hear from you again. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, I was going to ask you real quick, too, before we dive in. I know we're going to be talking about the Nursery Value Select Crop Insurance Program. Just real quick, how's early spring planting season going for you and your neighbors there in South Dakota?
I think it's going well. It's timely. We might be just a titch of, you know, ahead of what's considered normal. It had gotten very warm here last week. Got a lot of wind, so things dried out. So I saw some tractors in fields, and so I think some small grain got planted. And now with this inch of rain that we got, at least in this area, that will help that come up. So I'll be looking to see some small grain fields maybe coming out of the ground. And of course, we'll soon be in the fields planting corn. And there might be, you know, a few fields that got planted before this weekend's rain, but not too many.
All right. Well, we'll be watching, and hopefully we can continue on a decent track here for the spring planting season. All right, let's talk about the Nursery Value Select Crop Insurance Program. This is something, an expansion from the Risk Management Agency. Give us a little bit of background on this program, if you can, just to start here, Marcia.
Certainly. RMA has administered a nursery product for nearly 30 years. And it was called Nursery FG&C Crop Insurance. However, the program relied upon a partnership with a private contractor to maintain and update their eligible plant list and price schedule. These folks are a mom and pop type of operation, and they are ready to retire. And so they have notified us, and so we made the necessary steps to transition from that product into what we have right now going into the 2025 crop year. And we are naming that the Nursery Value Select. So it'll look somewhat similar to that 30-year product, but what we've done is expanded into areas. And so we have, I think, expanded like into five times the number of areas that we were before, which is, I think, a really positive growth outlook. So
Well, and thinking about this program as well, and just, you know, all the different crop insurance programs that are out there and administered by the Risk Management Agency for our farmers and ranchers, I just know that this is such an important safety net, and we need these programs, you know, not just for our corn, soybean, wheat growers, et cetera, but, you know, on the nursery side as well, some of our smaller crops, some of our specialty crops. These types of programs are so important, aren't they, Marcia?
They definitely are. You know, many times we talk about national security, and I think food falls right under that umbrella. Food security is so important, and it shouldn't be just limited to the traditional types of crops that RMA has historically covered, and that is why we are expanding into so many different things. You know, I'm proud to say that we are insuring plants in the ground, creatures that walk the earth, and also creatures that swim the sea. And so Nursery Value Select is a piece of that. And it really, I think, addresses your specialty crop growers with their nurseries if they have controlled environment. We also have a controlled environment product, but it also helps those growers manage weather risk. And so I look forward to seeing the interest and also the questions that we'll probably get in our upcoming virtual sessions.
And I know those virtual sessions happening here on Thursday afternoon. And I know if folks want to check out those virtual sessions or if they have questions about this program, I'm sure reaching out to their local USDA office, going online, a lot of great ways to get in touch, isn't there, Marcia?
There is. I would encourage those that are interested to, to hear the live version. to go on our website at www.rma.usda and search that information out. Like you said, it's two sessions on Thursday. We'll be having one later in July also. And many times our live sessions are recorded. So if you are not able to attend the live session, then you will have an opportunity to go back in and listen to the recording. But again, I hope if you are truly interested that you can make the time to attend, because we will be there with subject matter experts to answer questions from any and all that are on the call that day.
Well, great thoughts. RMA.USDA.gov for more info on the nursery value program. Marcia, we got about a minute here before we let you go. Anything else that you're working on at the Risk Management Agency that growers need to keep in mind, be on the lookout for? Anything else you want to mention for us here today?
Thank you for that offer. I think we've covered, you know, everything with the Nursery Value Select program. We have rolled out a number of new products this past year. Like I mentioned, the shellfish, the controlled environment. We might also have made some changes to harvest price options and those kinds of things. So if you are interested, either reach out to our regional offices that are across the country or hop on our website. Or if you already have a current crop insurance agent, have a good conversation with them as to what they're hearing on the ground, and look forward to seeing producers, hearing from producers is my main goal. It's always best if we can get good feedback. And, you know, that doesn't mean just the positive, but also the challenges from any of the products that we have recently rolled out in the last couple of years.
Well, again, learn more at rma.usda.gov. With that, RMA Administrator Marcia Bunger at USDA. Marcia, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
And with that, we are out of time here on AOA today, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or learn more online at cenex.com. On the next AOA, markets with Arlen Suderman of StoneX. We'll also talk with DTN's Chris Clayton about ag policy news in D.C. Have a great one. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
A promise is potent, born of intention, fueled by commitment. It's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.